Okay. Great. Monica.
Okay. Wow.
Do I have to stand up?
No.
Hi, Kryon. I'd like to ask you, when is anger appropriate? When is anger healthy? I think about Jesus, and he got angry at times. And then I think about the Dalai Lama, and he doesn't get angry. When is it appropriate?
I can tell you what Kryon has said, that anger is never appropriate. About Jesus, this is the report. Whether he got angry or whether he just held a line, or whether he, you know, whether he really went in there and threw off those money changers, you know, and got angry and yelled at them, or whether he just started moving the stuff away, or who knows? And those are the reports. By the way, the reports are different from different places. Kryon says that anger is never appropriate. And there's other things you can do. And we had this discussion before, and I'm glad it got to this. And Amper stood right up and showed the same kinds of things. There is a different energy that comes with compassionate action. And that is a phrase that Kryon has used so often, compassionate action. So, but you get to a place where you normally get your buttons pressed, and I have too, and you get to that place, and I don't get angry anymore, ever. I get disappointed. And I usually find that there are things that I can do in that disappointment to either correct the situation or solve it somehow. Sometimes I have to solve it for myself. And then it seems to solve it in the other area with other people. Now, I told you this morning, just when I started, that that's whole thing about, you know, going home and facing the relatives, and you may be around a table and they're having drinks and all like that, and so they start in on you. You know, seen any space creatures lately, Lee? You know. And all they're doing is trying to make you feel stupid and dumb because you believe in crap. And that's the whole thing. And that used to push my buttons. It really did. I feel I'm doing okay in work. And, you know, and so then you're with family who should love you. And they're pointing the finger at you and trying to do this. And I've had those buttons disengaged. And now they cannot get to me. Nobody can in that way anymore. I can have somebody stand in front of me and call me names. And I have, especially on an airplane when they find out what I do. And I have to sit with them, sleep with them, you know, the whole thing for 9 hours. And what you have there is they can't get to me. I will be so disappointed that that happened, but the anger never pops up. And I found my reaction at that time, what I do there often tempers them. It's just so fascinating what this does. And I know that why you're asking, because of the one thing that you've had happen. There probably are different ways, and only you know what that would be. But honestly, the answer Kryon gives is anger is never appropriate again. You know, anger leads to action that is inappropriate. And that, if you want to take it on a bigger scale, anger leads to war. The disengaging is what we're studying today. And there are so many different ways of doing it. It took me a long time to disengage that button that would be pushed like that. But I practiced. And you can practice in minor things as well. But I'll tell you, the more you practice, the better you get. The better you get. You really do.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the crystalline grid and how it might be and why it might be stronger in some places on the planet than others, and how it might have to do with crop circles.
I will answer that was two questions. And that higher self of yours was the one who asked about the crop circles. I want to do the crystalline grid. And I'm going to then tell you the other part of this. If you weren't here yesterday or if you didn't understand it, Monica is such a strong part of the team now because she is an archivist. She remembers so much. And we work on these things together. And you just hit an interesting nerve that's a good one, because we are preparing for another free television show you don't know about. We build these television shows, and then when we're finished and they're produced and nobody knows we've done them, then we'll put them out for free. So we're about ready to build one. It's all going to be about the energy systems of the planet, and one of them is a crystalline grid. And so we'll tell you, and it's obvious. You watch my site, you'll find out when these things are available. So I'm going to ask her to chime in here on a few things. On the specifically the crystalline grid, Kryon has said that there are several grids of the planet. Monica, why don't you go ahead from here, and then I'll take it from you after you.
Kryon describes three main energy grids. There are more. There's several, and there are people that dedicate their lives to studying ley lines and portals and earth energies. But what Kryon refers to are the three main energy grids. The first is magnetic. Obvious, Kryon's the magnetic master. Kryon describes the magnetic grid as the grid of communication. So all the planets have magnetics. And interestingly, he describes our DNA as having, how would you describe the...
It's a field.
A field, yep. Where the magnetics interplay and talk to our DNA. So this is how you have the mechanisms of communication through magnetics, which also links to astrologers and how astrology and astrological readings directly influence and impact your DNA. Then the other grid is the consciousness of Gaia, called the Gaia grid. This is the life force of Gaia. This is when shamans, they have personalities of mountains. The trees talk to people. You go into a forest. The personalities you have of the pets, the interaction with elephants and how they interact with humans, and then the dolphins and the whales. So this is the Gaia grid, the sentience of the planet. And then the third grid is the crystalline grid. And the crystalline grid remembers human consciousness, energy, and action. It's all recorded, and it links to the Cave of Creation. You want to talk about the Cave of Creation?
The Cave of Creation is something it's mysterious to most people. I'll get back to the crystalline grid, I promise. The Cave of Creation, Kryon says, is where it's a place that's a metaphoric, and yet it exists. That's an oxymoron in itself. And he says that's where all of the... he'll call it the crystals that hold your Akashic record for the planet reside. There's two places where that happens, and I'll get to the second one in a moment. And there's a reason for that, because he says, metaphorically, when we pass over, we go and leave all of those memories of what we've done on the planet at that place, and then go to the other side or whatever happens later. And then when we come back in and we're reincarnated, the first place we go is to pick them up again. Now, I think all of that is metaphoric. I don't think the soul actually goes to a cave and does something, which is very typical of what Kryon says. I've always felt that's way of Kryon saying that your Akashic record is what you should be concerned about is what happens here on Earth. I've heard many people say, well, the intellectuals are going to go, well, where did the souls come from before they were here? And there's more now than there were there before. That means that we're probably on other planets. The answer was yes. So do we have an extraplanetary Akash? And the answer is yes. Well, wouldn't they be in our Akash now? And Kryon says, don't go there. We have got to work with our planet, our lives, what we've experienced on this planet. And so that's why that Cave of Creation only has what you did here. The other thing that's very interesting to me is the second place where the Akash is held. Anybody want to tell it? The whales of the planet. And that was shocking when he said, I never expected that. It's a living Akash. Now we have the reason why whales are protected by almost every country that don't even have seas. There's agreements.
And it's cetaceans, so yeah, whales and dolphins.
It's the cetaceans. Did you know that dolphins are whales? Right. And so when we talk about dolphins and whales, it's the dolphins as well. They all have that. I could tell you about some amazing things that have happened with us and dolphins that just yell that they know who we are. But that's the Cave of Creation. But back to the crystalline grid, which is so much fun for me, because first of all, the name crystalline grid has to mean something. Again, metaphors are important. So what do we know about crystals? I mean, what really sets them apart? They have memory. They hold vibration. And they really do. And scientifically, they do. And so, I mean, they're even used in electronics because of that. And so we have that metaphor. Well, what vibration then are they holding? And what she said is correct. They hold what has happened with consciousness at several places, any place that anything has happened on the earth. Now, there's reasons for that, but let me tell you what has happened so far in an old energy. Let's demonstrate that so that you'll all know what I'm talking about, so it doesn't sound too airy-fairy. When a sensitive goes into a battlefield, and you know there's a lot of them around, and feels something, and they say, I think that there was a lot of death here, and they may even sense one in particular. And that's very common for a sensitive to happen. So here's my scientific question. How? Where does that come from? And the answer is the crystalline grid, because it remembers it. So a graveyard, a battlefield, things that happen, I can just imagine. I won't go near the 9/11 site for a long time. And it's not that just I grieve. It's just because I don't want to sense that. I just don't want it. And that's because I know what the crystalline grid does and what it's like. And that's why there are so many people there who go there just to observe and end up crying all day. I mean, it just gets you here when things like that have happened. Well, we have that all over the planet. So you have a remembering grid. Now, the fun parts of that, it starts to help explain hauntings. Now, not ghosts and poltergeists and all that, but hauntings, where you'll have the same thing happen at a certain time, and you can count on it. You can hear them come down the stairs, and you know, and there's creaking of this and that, and they'll say the place is haunted. And it is, but the crystalline grid is that which is remembering. It's almost like playing a tape over and over and over. So instead of entities being involved and ghosts being there, you've got the crystalline grid. So if something happened, like a murder or whatever, that's the memory is there. That's how powerful the crystalline grid is. Now, there are variations of it all over the planet, but I can't tell you about variations of just the crystalline because when the variations happen, they affect all of the grids that she's talked about.
Magnetics are affected, the Gaia grid is involved. Crying gave a channel in Ireland and talked about the absence of the crystalline grid. So here you have pure Gaia energy only coming up. And in fact, the airport in Cork have had the magnetics shift and change, and they've had to move their runway positions because they're on a...
Runway numbers.
The runway numbers because they're on a compass heading for the magnetics that affect that.
So
and
there's...
all those anomalies that you see are results of the interplay.
Of the crystalline and all the others. And here's where it really gets interesting to me. And that then starts to explain those things that are anomalies. And Ireland is one of them, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. But the Devil's Triangle is the other.
Well, Bermuda Triangle is the other name.
Bermuda Triangle is another. They all know that. Yeah. So what you have...
Well, I'm talking to a global audience.
Oh, that's, I forgot. I forgot that was true. So what you have there is an inner... where they overlay in certain ways that things start to... like the magnetic grid itself in those areas is all screwed up. And that's known because the pilots will know who depend on magnetics. Don't fly through there if you're only on magnetic compasses. Pilots don't use magnetic compasses anymore. I mean, they have all kinds of ways of flying now, so that's not an issue, and they fly through all the time. But if that's all you had, especially if you're going to navigate with a boat or something, it'll spin because the magnetics are everywhere. And there's more. there too that's odd. Well, this thing, this anomaly, and I know I'm taking a lot of time, but this anomaly in Ireland is so much fun because without the crystalline and the absence of so many and the Gaia grid being so strong, suddenly you have apparitions that appear that are multidimensional that we've been seeing for hundreds of years, the little people. And I thought that was just a tradition. I thought that was just fun in Ireland. And then I find out the government, I mean, has laws that you can't touch a fairy tree, and they know about these things, and it's been with them so long that it's not a joke to any of them. So in Ireland, they expect to have little people. What the little people are, Cryan says, is what you're seeing is multidimensional, what we'll call them, benevolent energies. We can't make heads or tails out of it, but our brain then interprets it as a very friendly, small person who won't harm you and does little tricks and you can talk to, and that's been the way it has been now for, as I say, hundreds of years, all related to the crystalline grid and the other grids that interface each other. So that's the program that we're actually going to do.
Anyway. And I want to just back up more to the crystalline grid because we have to understand the purpose of all of
this.
Thank
you for that.
Why even have it? Cryan describes us as being the only planet of free choice within our galaxy at this point in time. So we are going through a test of consciousness. Where will humanity take its collective consciousness with free choice? And if you're going to have a test like that, you need to have a way of measuring it. And this is where the crystalline grid comes into play because it measures and holds vibration of our consciousness. And you may have heard the term, the harmonic convergence. This was in reference to a synchronized global meditation event that was in 1987. And there was a collective poll taken of the consciousness. I don't know who's maybe I think it's God taking the poll. We don't know. We didn't get this story from Cryan in that detail. But it's a collective consciousness, the poll of humanity at that point. We were headed for Armageddon. Everything was lining up for a nuclear war that would almost terminate life on Earth. From that poll, the collective consciousness was that we wanted to stay on the planet and move towards love and compassion. This is what the reason that Cryan came in 1989. If that decision hadn't been that way in 87, we would not have had Cryan come in at 89. We probably wouldn't have had the fall of the Berlin Wall in 1989. There are many, many channelers that got their gifts in 1989. So it's all in the lead up to the shift, and it has come from the measurement of that crystalline grid. Now, what Cryan has said post 2012 is that year 2013 in particular was described as the year of recalibration. So if you've been one way for such a long time and then you move into a new energy, you have to recalibrate it. And so the light-dark quotient on that crystalline grid has also been recalibrated. Now, what does that crystalline grid mean for us? Every single human baby being born onto the planet communicates with that vibration of the crystalline grid. There is a difference in the vibration of that grid. You can track it when the indigo children started to come in. It was a different measurement from before. I'm sure we're going to start seeing babies born after 2012, very different attributes again, because they're picking up the light-dark quotient and vibration from the grid that's being broadcast at birth, which affects their DNA.
So what that means is that instead of a grid that only remembers battlefields, a sensitive may walk around and go, wow, and realize that a birth had happened there. Or two people had kneeled and promised their love to each other there. Or a treaty was signed there or something. In other words, the remembrances are going to start changing from negative to positive. Mm.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're next question.
Hi, I would like to ask, because I come from Iceland, and now I live in Denmark, and when I come to Iceland, I always feel the energy is very different as where it is in Denmark, for example. And I've been wondering, you know, there was this meeting many years ago with Gorbachev and Reagan. Iceland being...
That was the Reykjavik's.
Yes, it was in Reykjavik. Mm-hmm. And I have been thinking, can there had never been a war in Iceland. Can if you have a location that is with more clear crystalline grid, can that affect the way people like communicate or negotiate?
Can I tell you something that I always felt when I heard they were going to Reykjavik's? I never heard of it. And I wondered where and why. And then I saw it was in Iceland. And I thought, is that just because it's neutral? I mean, so is Switzerland. I mean, it's been, we're all polarized in the Cold War, and Iceland was as well.
Yes.
So why in Iceland? Now I'm starting to realize that what you're saying was probably absolutely true.
Yeah, the energy.
Seemingly by accident or synergy or whatever you want to call it, they went to a place where the magnetic grid is very different. Now, exactly. I know, I mean, take a look at the northern lights that you have and all of the activity that's there. It's different. I think it was more commensurate to their decisions. And when I saw that on television at Christmas time. I watched them shake hands, and I said, this is different. That leader is different. This whole thing is different. And that was really the beginning of then what happened later in Russia. I think you're totally right.
And would I be correct that Iceland is quite close to Greenland? Because there is a knoll, that's one of the 12 major knolls in Greenland. And people ask, where do I go to get in touch with the knoll or the node on the planet? We want to put a pinpoint mark on a map and say, this is the point. But Kryon says when it comes to those nodes and knolls, the region is affected and you can't just do a pinpoint. So Iceland is also feeling those energies of the knoll that is in Greenland, which is pure Gaia energy, a Pleiadian home, Pleiadian time capsule. I think that is also linked and related. So,
thank you. When I lived, this really isn't about me, but when I moved to outside of Philadelphia about 15 years ago, I started doing this thing in my sleep. When I would come back to consciousness, as soon as I closed my eyes, I would see this grid and, electronic. It was just a grid up there, and it would be all these fabulous bright colors. And the whole time I lived outside of Philadelphia, I saw that every time I closed my eyes. And then I traveled around the world a lot, and a few places I would see it. But I think that I was connecting to the crystalline grid there, but it's like, why was it there? And I don't connect to that every place.
In your particular case, I don't give readings, but it had nothing to do with the crystalline grid. It had everything to do with you. You're not the only person in this room who sees that. John sees that. He sees it just like you do. In fact, we had that conversation, and it sounded like you were talking about the very identical thing. This is about the consciousness at the time for you, when it's right, what you're seeing. It's really almost like spirit signaling things to you. So we all need the validations and the verifications. In that particular case, and in John's case, it doesn't have anything to do with the crystalline grid. These are messages for you in a way that you can understand or at least question and make something out of it. Pay attention to the colors.
Good to see you, Lee. A number of years ago, you were given the option to take your relationship with Kryon up a notch. And I was wondering if you could explain what it might be like on a daily basis, briefly, on how you two are actually merged.
This was a story that I've told before, and it's a funny story to me because it just shouts human nature. which I'm very much a part of, and the increase in the evolution of human nature, which I'm a part of. It was some years ago, and we're doing meetings everywhere, and much the same as we are now. I was pleased with where this was going, and I'd written another book and all of that. And nothing was wrong or whatever. And in the shower, I clearly hear, "Are you ready to go to the next level?" And my reaction was, "Oh, I thought I was at the highest level." And I'll always remember that, because that is so human, isn't it? I mean, I'm just admitting to you, it's not as much ego as it is, I thought I was okay. You know? And I ask, the first thing I did was get out of the shower because I didn't like the message. And then I go back in. And I ask, and the intuition came, and Crying said, I said, "And so what is the next level?" And he says, "You're playing church with me." And I said, "What does that mean?" And he says, "You're sitting down in the chair and you show up, you dress for it." I do. And then when you leave, I'm not there until the next time you sit in the chair, and then you channel, and that's when everybody expects Cryon. And he says, "It really ought to be 24/7. I never considered I was playing church with Cryon. That never occurred to me. And then I said, "Okay, what does it mean?" And he said, "Give intent." Now, I like this, because he didn't say, "Well, here are the stairs to climb and here are the courses to take." And I say, "After intent," and he says, "Things will change." And they started to. And the things that changed the most for me, I didn't expect. Going to the next level sounds like you've got to work harder, that there's stuff coming that you've got to then prepare for. I had no idea what he was asking me to do was to step into the love of God in a way I'd never, ever considered. And things got so much better. But it also changed my perspective on everything, eventually. It took 2 years. But then I started seeing people differently. Everyone was going through what I was going through when I'd see them on the street. No matter who they were or what, I realized that they were on earth the same as I was, figuring out the puzzle. When I started traveling to foreign countries and all of this, it was so profound, because this is the way I felt to everybody. And that's why I treat people the way I treat them. There's a hierarchy that is built in, that your parents give you, your society gives you, or whatever, of who you talk to and who you don't and how you say things. Is that all right to say? I mean, it's there. And you can say, "Well, I'm not aware of it." Yeah, you are. We really, all of us are. And it comes from our parents, and it comes from society, and all of this. And all of that just disappeared. It just went away. And everybody was in the same bag. And that's the first thing. And then I started receiving information out of channel. And that was cool, because it helped me write the more profound things in the books. I also started getting advanced information about what the channels might be like. That helped me, because the channels got better, because I was more prepared emotionally if we were going to have a channel that was emotional. So do you see what happened there? It changed me. So I'm not sure my work reflected that, because there wasn't any demarcation point where Cryon suddenly got better. But there was a demarcation point where Lee got better with Lee. And that's what I teach. And that's where all of us are going. That's a 24/7 relationship to the Creator. And that's what we strive for. And that's the answer to no anger. It really is. You won't go there, because it's just not in your program. And you don't have to then decide or have your buttons or where are they or anything else. It's not there. That's the answer.
I didn't know I got one of these. Cryon, we're addressing Cryon now. You speak for spirit. Does that include the transcended masters? Does that include, we could name them that we know, but when you speak, Kryon's intelligence. Does that include the intelligence of Saint Germain and Jesus and the Avatar?
It does, John, because Kryon is, first of all, said, he said, I've happened to give myself a name, a funny one, to get your attention. Number two, he said, you still think that I'm linear because I'm one, but I'm not, I'm a group. And he said, so are you when you're not here. All right. And that group is a group from the creative source. The creative source represents all humanity and non-humanity. Creative source represents every tree and every animal and every ascended master. So that is where you get that messages that feel the way they do for you.
Lately, Kryon's been saying about to release and to suppress the conditioning that us light workers grew up with. And I love the idea of releasing, and I recoil at the concept of to suppress, because I want to release it. I want it, you know, I want it in the past behind me. And I just...
Can I tell you why the word was used? When I channel, I get insight as to the language that I'm given. Sometimes that language, I trip over my tongue while I'm channeling because I want to use one word and another one pops in. That's part of a smooth channel, is learning these kinds of things. Marilyn will tell you the same thing, and we have discussions about what is said and how it is said and these kinds of things. Releasing is a concept that is a high concept. It is not something that people can do. Releasing the baggage that you might have or whatever is the answer. Suppressing may be the first step and more understandable to people who are just hearing this for the first time. I agree. Release is the solution. But it's much difficult, much more difficult for somebody who's never heard this before, and suddenly they realize this, and they say, release it. They have no idea what to do. Suppressing, that is something we understand better. That's why the word was used. And so maybe a little more insight as to what I go through. You know, I'll be editing these channels, and I say to Kryon, you could have said it better. And then I realized later, maybe there was a purpose behind the tongue tangling.
Thank you. My question is very easy. I don't know for you. For Kryon, maybe it's very good. What do you think about Area 51? I always very curious about that.
Everybody is.
There was the necklace. You know,
everybody
there.
Is, and Kryon won't talk about it. Because that's not a metaphysical axiom about a creation or anything. It doesn't teach us anything at all. It's just a mystery we have that is part of our karma. We created it. So whether it's real or not, he doesn't talk about conspiracies. He doesn't. That's our karma. If we want to believe crazy stuff, we can. And any of these things, he never comments on any of those things. Isn't that interesting? Now, he does comment a lot on ETs, so it's probably very real.
Regarding what Kryon was mentioning yesterday about the spark, I had a certain event occur to me, and it occurs at a lesser degree afterward. But it was life-changing for me. I was in my spiritual progression, in my meditation, during some music rehearsal. I had this love just rush into my being, love and joy to a degree that it brought tears to my eyes, that it was just something that I experienced. I could not fathom the degree of love, and I felt it was from the creative source and not just my higher spiritual self. I'm not sure if that was the spark. It didn't feel like a spark. I didn't see a lot of the light of the music. However, it was life-changing, and for me, I kind of felt bad because I judged others in the past that had, they said they were saved by Jesus or something. I'm going to leave that every person up to their own way.
No, that's a spark. That is a spark. It's perhaps a spark that has a doctrine with it that we might not agree with in its total, but that was a spark. That was a realization of the love of God touching that person. You had it during music.
Yes.
That's why. Because I have heard this also from artists, that there is something beautiful that will trigger that very feeling that you've said. Now, sparks happen in degrees, and Crying didn't get into that. So there are, I wouldn't call them lesser sparks, but there's not the same experience, but it's still a spark. And it's what you do with it at that point in time that really is, whether it changes your life forever or whether you just go and say, you know, I had this great experience and the love was fine, let's grab a beer, you know, or whether you do something with it that's different and it changes your life. That's the kind of spark that Crying was talking about in channel. But yeah, and the answer is you experienced it. And I want to really say that those, I have watched those come to the altar in Christian churches and be changed absolutely forever. You know, you can't throw that away just because you don't belong to their church or believe in their doctrine. They were touched by the love of God to such a degree, they cleaned up everything and went a whole new direction. That's a spark.
So I've had this question since yesterday, and I've noticed a lot that a bunch of people have been speaking about the whales and even the spirit animal, the tarantula that was mentioned earlier today, and how we as humans have, like, I don't know if it was 23-something chromosomes different than other creatures on our earth. So I was wondering and we also talked about instincts and how animals have different instincts than us. And so I guess my question would be, what are their purpose here, and how do they differ from us human beings on earth?
The animals, according to Crying, and Monica has some things to say on this because it's part of her past as a park ranger in Australia for 15 years. The animals here, in completely and total support for humanity, they're part of this planet, and some of them are here to love us. And there is such a profound relationship between humans and animals. And when you take a look at them a whole different way, that thing that happened to me in the shower, that meld, changed how I looked at every animal. They're here with us and for us and supportive of us. And so then we get to talking about, for instance, the ones you even mentioned, about the whales and the dolphins. And we're starting to see more and more metaphors about the animals. That was interesting about the tarantula. I think that is because of the other channel that Crying gave, where he said, it's time for you to reconnect yourself to Earth. He said, you lost that completely. No church that you can think of that is a main church in the West has connected itself with Gaia. We threw it away completely. But the indigenous did not. They still do. And we have to reconnect that. That means the animals. And that's the easy, probably animals first, because they're mammals, most of them. Anyone, so you can see, we can relate to that rather than the tree hugger who's the one who relates to the actual dirt of the earth. That's a little harder. But the animals, yeah. So we're starting to see a lot more, I think, of those kinds of things. And then I also love the influence of the indigenous is more powerful now in America, I think, than it's ever been before. People are starting to listen and understand and seek out shaman elders. And as just, you know, it used to be a trek to India. You had to have that. Now we're realizing it's in our backyard. And it's there. It really is. And they can sit down with you and explain why they would start every ceremony with a honoring of the East and the West and the North and the South and go from there. There's an alliance with the planet that helps everything we're trying to do as light workers. Can I just tell you for a minute? And that's the answer. But the thing that, sorry, that Crying gave that was so profound when we were on the Azores, and he was talking about the dolphins, because we just have another dolphin experience, because we have a lot of dolphin experiences. So we're on a boat, and it happens to be a whale-watching boat, and we did see a whale. blue whale, a huge whale, but the dolphins were there. And the interesting thing about them, this whale-watching boat, we were all in the back in these tiered seats where everybody sits and watches for the whales, and nobody's in front. And so when the dolphins appeared, the first thing we realized is that many of them had babies. Now, first thing we know in nature is stay away from an animal that has a baby, because they're so protective. You know, a bear or a moose or a deer, and they won't, you know, they're dangerous if they have a cub. A lot more dangerous than otherwise. That is a given. And here we see the animal in the ocean who's actually steered to where we are to show us their children. To me, that is just astonishing. Then I realized something. They were dancing and playing because we were oohing and aahing and going, yay, and singing, and they were dancing. None, not one of them was in the front. They all knew where we were. That shows you a connection of consciousness. And then there's others who, we have sea captain in here, who has seen whales, you know, detour and come and check you out and say hello and leave and things of this nature. And then the other thing, in the Azores, that was a whaling community for hundreds of years or so. And I can't tell you how many whales they killed, and the factory is still there and all that. And they stopped 20 years, I think, or something like that ago. And so instinct would what? It would tell whales, stay away from this area because that's where they kill us. They didn't. They're back. Now, that's counterintuitive to instinct. They're all back, and we look for them, and we find them. That's also a consciousness connection to humans. We're saying, it's safe now. We want to see you now. And they're there. These are mysterious things, but they're not mysterious if you understand the power of consciousness.
Thank you, Lee, so much for your work. My question is, what does Cryon say is the most powerful thing you can do to change your life, others, and the environment around us?
You're not going to believe the answer, because it's so simple. And he's only started using this since 2012. He says, the metaphor is, stop the car, sit down and be loved. You got to clear the boards of everything you believe and think and everything that anybody has told you that you must do or must not do, including me. And Cryon says, you got to sit and be loved. And the result of that, stopping the car, may actually mean you got to clear the boards of your life. You've got to find a few hours or something where you won't do anything. And you go out and just sit down and open your hands. And when you do that, Cryon says, that's when you start getting information that'll answer every question you have. Because that's the new energy. Now, that is not what we've been told in the past. We were told, well, there's got to be something more. And there isn't. At this point in time, we are oblivious to new kinds of energy that is sitting there hovering over us, ready to help us if we'd simply stop for a while. And that's when the intuition kicks in. You know, when Marilyn teaches how to channel, and she's going to do that tomorrow, she hasn't said it. You know what the secret is? You know what channeling really is? It's a stream of intuition. So this is she's teaching you to combine the pineal, the brain, the heart together, listen to intuition in a different way. So it's all about the connection you have to God inside. That happens when you stop and listen. That's when the intuition starts to give you the answers that you were fighting to have as someone who is overthinking it or over-intellectualizing it. That's fairly new. And Cryon says he's going to channel about it tonight. Okay, good. It really has to do with new paradigms for all of us. And so that's the best answer I can give you on that one. We have time for one more question before the break.
Thank you very much. My question is, you said when people pass, part of them stay here with family and the rest go beyond. And we're learning here and trying to get better. How about over there? Are they learning also? That's my question.
No. When you say over there, we are talking about that which we will call God. All right. They are learning in other places, maybe even dimensionally, but not. Well, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the creative source, which we understand to be Spirit and God. The information, is there a specific channel that you can remember or not? Because he's done a number of them about soul splitting. Okay. They're all over, and you look for something maybe entitled soul splitting if it's there. Krein wants to tell us that the paradigm we have always had is one that's so understandable because we're linear. We have one body, and we look in the mirror, and there's one face and one name, and that's how we go through life, and we're specifically us. We're nobody else. But souls are not. Souls are not linear. They're not earthly creatures. They're not corporeal. They're multidimensional. And in a multidimensional way, the paradigm is completely different of existence. When we pray to God, if you have a billion people all giving their prayer together, you don't ever think about how can God listen. That's just not even on your mind. It's assumed. God can hear them all at once. That's the example of a multidimensional attribute. So now you have a soul that's you, but it doesn't have your name on it. That's the name you had as a human. It's got another name on it. That's the original name that you had that encompasses a lot more than you ever thought. It's your higher self, it's your personality, your consciousness, where you're here, and it contains all the information of who you were and all of that. The Akash is not carried in your soul, it's carried in the cave of creation. What's carried in the soul is so much greater, Krein says. And the purpose of what I'm gonna tell you, he says, part of it splits when you pass. And that multidimensional thing that can listen to a billion people at the same time, part of it goes to those who are left. And whether it's your kids, or whether it's your friends, or whether it's your significant other, so that when you pass, they will feel you and know that you're still here in some way. Now, we are talked out of that in such a significant way that people will grieve all their lives not understanding that we're there. Krein has given this wonderful example of you, of those who've loved and lost are standing right next to you while you're grieving and on your knees, and they're trying to get a hold of you. And they're saying, look, I'm here. I'll put my arm around you if you'll just believe it. And that's profound, isn't it? And then there's more. You reincarnate. Okay, how do you stay with your kids when you reincarnate? And the answer is yes. It's a multidimensional puzzle we can't figure out because we don't understand those non-linear things. A soul is a soul. It's your soul. It's your forever. It goes here. It goes there. It gets punished over here, whatever. None of that is accurate. We have to start thinking bigger about those kinds of things. And the bigger we think and the more Krein talks about it, the grander it is. I mean, it's when I first heard that, I said, this makes total sense. And isn't it a beautiful system to have your soul stick around and help the ones who are grieving the fact that you died? And I just love that. And so there's a lot more. And it's again, there's been a number of channels on it that have lasted a long time. So I'm just, you know, touching the surface. But it's a good question. And thank you for that, because it's something that Krein is very much wanting us to know. All right. I have a request. I'm going to take a break. I'm not available for questions. I know how this works, because as soon as we break, there's a number of people who did not get their questions asked who will race over to the table and ask me questions. I'm not available, all right? I'm sorry, but I have to take a break.
But I will tell you there are resources on the Krein website. There is a question and answer section. Back in the day where Lee only did about 10 channels a year, and he actually would answer questions to Cryon. So that is still available. There's also videos that he has done on question and answers, and there's many sessions like this with beautiful people like yourself that's been posted as well. So you may want to consult those resources as well. And thank you so much for contributing to this session.